And everybody get a handout tonight. Anybody need a handout? We have a few extras, I believe. Don't Miss Bridget, we have some more? We have a couple, one more. All right. No. Anybody need one? Anybody need a handout? Jenna, you got your handout? You got to fill in those blanks. All right, let's open our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And we'll continue with our series on honoring God. And tonight, honoring God in the tough times. You know, we've all had times and phases in our life that's been tough. And as we think through the Word of God, there's ample examples, but one in particular, the Apostle Paul, man, he went through so much, but yet continue to drive on to continue to serve Him. So we're going to talk a little bit tonight on honoring God in the tough times in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It'll be two-part. I didn't have enough concerned about time and how much time I need. So the introduction is kind of long. We'll have one point tonight, a couple more next week. And don't hold your breath. Don't be shocked. But if we're a little shorter on the next few Sunday nights, I'm not going to make up the time and regain it later, but I do have a purpose and plan, trying to be a little sympathetic with Michelle, setting for song for long periods of time, but at the same time, I didn't want to try to do it all in one message as well. So the introduction will be a little long, kind of like this morning, and then we'll get into the one point, and then we'll pick up a few points next week. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we'll begin reading in verse 6, and I'll read through verse 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning in verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, have shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Father, bless the reading of thy word tonight. I pray that you'd help me, give me clarity of thought, clarity of mind, and clarity of speech. Help me to be a source, Lord, and a vessel in your hands to be a source of encouragement, Lord, and challenge as well. Lord, we love you. Now bless our time together in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as we look here a little closer with the theme of glory, some of you may think, well, where are we going with this, preacher, honoring God in the tough times? Well, the word glory here, if you look in verse 6, comes from the Greek word doxa. And that word is also translated throughout Scripture with different words. In some areas, it's glorious. Some places, it's honor, praise, and in worship. So the glory and the honor and the praise and the worship that we desire to give to God is seen in the person of Jesus Christ. And we talked a little bit about that in the book of Philippians in Sunday school this morning. And I'll be honest with you, I just don't think we praise Him enough. I really don't. Of all that's going on in our lives and the difficulties, you know, we should be ready to praise the Lord no matter what's going on. The good, the bad, the ugly, whatever's taking place, God is good. And all the time, and we need to make sure that is on our lips and ready to give praise at every opportunity that we can in serving Him. Now, if we look a little bit of background here with this passage of Scripture and the Apostle Paul, at the time of this writing, Paul was being severely attacked. His enemies had attacked his credibility as an apostle. They attacked his ability to communicate with any amount of oratorial skills or excellence. They even attacked his personal appearance. So how did Paul respond? Without a doubt, our response is typically to defend ourselves, but not Paul. Paul embraced what they said as legitimate. He looked for a little bit of truth in everything that they said. He claimed that it was these very weaknesses that magnified the power of Christ in him. Are you with me? Because of all of these things, I am nothing. So any product, any production I have, it has to be of Him. You know, I had a conversation the other day with somebody, and I'm convinced most of the time, not in all cases, so many times I think preachers that we hear in the news, ministries, evangelists, and others involved in ministries have some difficulties. Sometimes I think it gets so big, they look at themselves of what's going on. What's taking place, they take their credit, and before long they get in the flesh and they have problems. Folks, if we can't give God the glory in everything that we do, then there's something wrong with that. I need to take the blame if something goes wrong, because the flesh probably got in it to begin with, and that's why there was a situation. But we need to praise him. And that's exactly what the apostle did. No longer was the vessel impressive. It was what filled the vessel that became important. He knew it wasn't of him. Oh, and so many people could talk about what could have those things been. What was it that people could complain about? Many folks said his difficulties, his thorn in the flesh was his eyesight. Others said it was his appearance. Others said he was a little guy, didn't command much respect, though he demanded it. And the list of speculation goes on and on. But the Apostle Paul says, that's fine. I'm not wonderful. I'm not appealing to look at. I may have my difficulties. So when God works, it must be him. And by the way, if God always used impressive vessels, we may ourselves magnify the container rather than Christ. And that's why we need to be careful. Hey, look, I appreciate the respect and the honor that's given to a pastor. The Bible says he's worthy of double honor. But the bottom line is, it all belongs to him. And if it comes to the point when pastors and even myself begin to absorb that and look at me, that's when the downfall begins to take place. It's him and his abilities, what he has given me. Folks, if you had seen me the first time I ever preached, if you had seen me the first time I stood up in class and gave a speech, never in the world would you have thought I'd ever be a preacher. Miss Lawson, I shared the testimony before when I got saved in years gone by, being on staff at the church where I grew up in. And Miss Lawson, who was responsible for me coming to know the Lord, she would say, I never would have thought you'd be a preacher in a million years. But she'd just smile and says, I'm so proud of you and I love you and so glad that you are. And dear friends, I couldn't be what I am, nor could we without Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in our text in verse 7, it says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Folks, we're just clay pots. Remember, God has not required us to be sinless to be used. Come on now. We don't have to be perfect to be used. God uses a multitude of people. In fact, he even had an old mule speak out. The bottom line is, he can use any vessel that's willing to repent, to get right, to keep short accounts, and say, Lord, I want to be used of you. That repentance is what makes a difference. And we'll look at a few examples here in a few moments. Here we find out that God does not require to be sinless to be used. If he did, we would be without any vessels but Christ doing all the work. Even the noblest saints were far from perfect. When's the last time you took a journey through the Old Testament and New Testament and looked at some of the character and some of the of men that God used, and even women that God used, and how they overcame some things for God to use them? Let's look at a couple of those tonight. Abraham, the father of the faithful, twice pretended his wife was his sister or cousin because he was fearful of what would take place. He lied. Moses, the human deliverer of Israel, leading all those out of Egypt, had a fiery temper and was, by his own admission, a complete inadequate speaker. We know him and we read that he stuttered. And what humors me is how many times he wanted Aaron to speak, wanted the Lord to use him. And guess what? He never gave Aaron the opportunity, did he? God helped him overcome those problems. And we can look at these crutches, we can look at these difficulties and allow them to keep us back, or we can surrender them to the Lord and allow God to use us. David, a man after God's own heart and the sweet psalmist of Israel, was guilty of adultery and murder. But yet, God used him. Again, he says, I think it was a Psalm 51 or 52, where he says, Lord, wash me as hyssop. Make me white as snow. He had a repent of heart, short accounts, and making things right. There was times he had to be confronted by the prophets, but he responded the right way, and God used him. Elijah boldly confronted hundreds of false prophets. Let me go a little further. He even mocked them in the name of God of Israel. And then in doubt and fear, he ran for his life from old Jezebel. How can he confront all those prophets, mock them, give them a hard time, call down fire and water from heaven, and then be afraid and run from a woman who was in leadership? Again, a failure, but God used them. Isaiah, The noble prophet confessed to being a man of unclean lips. His own words there in Isaiah 6:5. Peter, the leader of the 12 apostles, openly confessed that he was a sinful man there in Luke 5:8 and proved it by repeatedly denying Christ. But yet, again, making things right, God used him on the day of Pentecost and other days in a great and mighty way. The Apostle John. Some of you may not realize this, but the Apostle John, he was the apostle of love. But was also, what was his father's name or nickname? The Son of Thunder. And sometimes the apple doesn't fall very far from the tree. He jealously sought to restrain the ministry of someone who was not part of his group. And we see that in Mark 3:17 and Luke 9:49. Later, he wanted to call down fire from heaven to incinerate a Samaritan village that had just rejected Jesus. Here's the guy who is recognized as the apostle of love. Well, Lord, if they don't want to accept you, just burn them, strike them dead. You know, we all have that moment of the flesh. Hey, look, folks, I love you dearly, but there may be some days that I don't like you. And that goes before each other. Hey, we're only human. But yet here, the Apostle John, as many others that we've read here, had their shortcomings. But the differences were, they yielded those things, made those things right, and God used them. Paul was merely another in a long line of clay pots that God has successfully used. You know, I thought about this afternoon when I was going over my notes. I wish I'd pinned it in. I should have wrote a little line there for us, to, each one of us, to put in our name of clay pots that God desires to use no matter the sin and the past and the history of our life. There may be things that we are not qualified for any longer, but God still wants to use us. And we just need to be willing and realizing this clay pot, I'm just going to ask the Lord to wash me. I'm going to ask the Lord to forgive me, and I'm going to get back in the fight. I'm going to get back in service and see how the God could use me. See, the genuineness of his apostleship is in spite of this humanity, is evident not from the human abilities or skills or achievements, but from his spiritual character. He was willing to whatever it took to use, to be used of God. Folks, he overcame a lot. From persecuting the church, all that he did there when the young evangelist deacon was stoned, to yet now someone that God's used in a mighty way and penned much of the scriptures as well. He overcome many things of the past. He overcome those that feared him, that was concerned when he was around, because this is probably just another trick. He had much to overcome, but he did, and he did not give up. This passage unfolds seven spiritual characteristics that mark Paul as a very useful clay pot. He was humble. He was invincible. He was sacrificial. He was fruitful. He was faithful. He was hopeful. And he was worshipful. But folks, we don't have to be all of those to be used of God. I think the biggest thing that we need to use is just be available, that dependability, be that availability for God to use you. Earlier in his first book, and let's turn to, did I put 1 Corinthians 1:26-29 in your notes there? Okay, so we won't need to turn there. Earlier in this first book of the Church of Corinth, notice what Paul writes here in 1 Corinthians 1:26-29. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. And see, that's the problem we have today, that too many people want the recognition and want the glory of what that which has taken place instead of giving it all to the Lord. Now, we begin to see one of the unexplained paradoxes of the Bible. See, because of the filling of God's Holy Spirit, these unimpressive earthen vessels become remarkable resilient to the challenges of life. See, the bottom line is that availability to be used. God, please use me. They become these incredible beacons of light in any culture, through any challenge, in all persecutions, beyond any political leader at any time. But we need to make the decision of that filling of the Holy Spirit, allowing God to use me. We had food brought over when Michelle came to the hospital. And thank you, I think I gained 7 pounds. And we eaten it all, and probably should have put more in the freezer. But we enjoyed it immensely. And then I think it was Tony and Marlene, when they also came by, they brought some flowers for Michelle. So right away, I looked for a vessel to put them in. Now, I could have laid them over. I could have just left them there, propped them up in the sink. But the point I'm trying to make, there was a vessel available, and I found it above the stove, put some water in it, put a little package, put the flowers in. It helped them to last so much longer. But that vessel sitting up there on its own did me no good. I had to use that vessel, and it made a great use of helping those flowers to last a period of time. And dear friends, we as vessels, as clay pots, if we just make ourselves available to be used of God, He will help bring forth such beauty and a fragrance of Him if we allow Him to use us. But Satan will do all he can to discourage us. Remember, bring back your past and what you used to be and all those things. And we all struggle in some areas. All of us. I would hope to think there's no one here that think, hey, I've arrived. The party can begin. Hey, I'm here. It's those type of approaches in leadership and ministry that usually leads to disruption and failure. Folks, we have church, and we have a place here to come and worship that others may hear about Christ, and everything we do should reflect toward Him and not remind them of the world and things of the world. We talked about this a few weeks ago. And if it's all about Him, sometimes if we can just let go and say, Lord, I know my brothers and sisters in Christ are here. I know my pastor's here. I've enjoyed the music. Everything is here. But Lord, I just want to let everything go and just worship You. Folks, sometimes I think we miss because we allow distractions to keep us from having that intimacy, that relationship with the Lord in worship, whether it be at home in private or even in public and enjoying that. God wants to use anyone that will make themselves available to be used. Again, referring to those that have given their life to Christ, those vessels that God wants to use. We'll look at one tonight. Number one, affliction does not cause destruction. Affliction does not call destruction. Again, this affliction that some of these men went through, the affliction the Apostle Paul went through, it led, and it looks like it was could be leading to destruction, but when they turned it over to God, God took care of it. The devil wants you to believe it's destruction. He wants you to believe that God cannot use you. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 8 and 9. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Not destroyed. Affliction does not cause destruction. It's uncomfortable. Sometimes it's a nuisance. Sometimes it's tiring. Sometimes it's worrisome. But we know it doesn't lead, because God promises, to destruction. Let's look at the individual words here in this passage of 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. Notice that word troubled. Troubled. It means to press hard upon, to be in a narrow place. Simply put, it means to be under pressure. You ever feel that way? Hey, can we name a few things that God has used in this world today that thrives under pressure, that produces beauty? Of course we do. Diamonds is an example. Pearls is another example. And we even see examples in the Word of God where God has used people, though they be under great pressure. Do you not think Moses was under great pressure of leading the children of Israel, but God used him? Don't let Satan make you think it's leading to destruction. Troubled. Then it says, not distressed. In other words, not crushed. Not crushed. Dear friends, Again, God is in control. Don't allow Satan or even Satan to use others to discourage you. And then we see the word perplexed. It means to be without resource. To be without resource. How much resource do we need? The Bible refers to thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. You know, there's no place anywhere in the world today, even if we don't have the word of God with us, if we have enough in our heart and our mind that we can't still not use it to talk to people and share Christ with them. We should never feel that we're without resources. In fact, there's churches all over the world today that have a beautiful building. It's air-conditioned like we do, but yet they still meet. There's some that had to meet in secrecy and hiding, but they still meet. Don't allow this aspect of being perplexed or to be without a resource. He is our source. And then we see that phrase, not in despair. In other words, not destitute of resource. Not only is there not, maybe there's no resource, but destitute, not destitute of resource. See, it was as if Paul was at a loss, but not a total loss. Like he was at the brink of defeat, but yet not defeated. Come on now, think about it. How many times have you read through the missionary journeys of Paul and you thought to myself, wow, he just keeps going. I mean, he's better than the Energizer Bunny. He just keeps going. He doesn't give up. He doesn't quit. I mean, one of my favorite stories is when they were shipwrecked. And it was up there and they had the natives, the cannibals, whoever was there, they had a little bit of fearful. And then the viper comes out of the wood and bites him on the arm. Well, that's one of my favorite stories. I heard a preacher from South Carolina preach a sermon out of that passage called Shake and Bake. Well, I wish I could find the notes on that. I just remembered it was very animated. He was very active in it. And I'll never forget the aspect of things when he talked about that message. Folks, basically what he was saying is, no harm can come to us that Christ does not allow. And he can heal. He can do whatever he sees fit. And sometimes it's all about our response to the attacks, our response to things that happen to us. How do we handle them and how we respond through them? Troubled, not distressed, perplexed, not in despair. And then we see persecuted, made to run, driven away, haunted. Ever felt that way? You know, I really, as Americans, I don't know if we really understand fully what being persecuted is all about. I've had the privilege of sitting down and talking to ministers and others in Eastern Europe that were put in prison for their faith, for preaching the gospel, spent time in Siberia and let out. And I'll never forget one particular gentleman that I met. He got out of prison on a Friday, preached on a Sunday, was back in prison on Monday. He says, nobody's going to tell me that I can't preach. Nobody's going to tell me that I can't present the gospel. Dear friends, we do really not know what persecuted is all about. I mean, be knocking on someone's door and inviting them to church and them saying, hey, my sign says no soliciting, and slams the door. First of all, I'm not soliciting. What I've got, I'm not selling. I'm giving it away. Number one. So, but I know people get upset. That's not persecution. We've been cursed. We've been accused. We've been harassed, called name. But folks, that's not persecution. When we look at what the Bible talks about and we see in our passage, persecuted, but not forsaken. With that next word, not forsaken, it means to be abandoned. The Lord did not leave him while he was on the run. Folks, there's one comment that Brother Jeff made when I talked to him when he called me this morning. He said, Pastor, I'm grateful for a couple things. I wasn't flying when I had the stroke, and God allowed me to have the stroke among Christian friends. I was impressed of the nurses and doctors in the hospital and in rehab that when I shared my faith that they are believers too and they've encouraged me. Folks, they're out there. It doesn't matter how much the prophet yelled, it's me, I'm the only one. And the Lord had to remind him, oh, there's many more. And sometimes we don't know there's more because none of us are willing to open our mouth and say who we are. They're out there and they're there. Do not allow the persecution or the fear of persecution to keep us from serving. Affliction does not cause destruction. And then we see not forsaken. It means to be abandoned. The Lord didn't, I said that already, didn't I? The Lord didn't leave him while he was on the run. And then we see cast down. It means thrown down, like as in a wrestling match. Saw a little bit of that today watching a few clips of a few highlights of a football game where a quarterback was sacked and slammed down. You know, I've had some people use a few choice words, but I've never had anybody poke me in the nose or punch me in the throat because I was a Christian, because I shared my faith. I've had nobody, I mean, they've used words, but I've never had anyone attack me. Now, I've had one guy threaten me. We're on the mission field when his girlfriend got saved, when got a brain cramp. What's that redheaded gal's name? Svetlana. When Svetlana got saved and went home and kicked her boyfriend out, 6'6", 240 pounds, says, I'll be seeing that preacher this week. She sent her son right to the house and said, preacher, my boyfriend is mad. He's looking for you. Well, that's okay, because I had a translator who was 6'8", much smarter than Jethro Bodine, but had the appetite and the strength that he had. Those of you who ever watched the Beverly Hillbillies, you know what I'm talking about. Jethro came by a little later. Vanya came by a little later and said, preacher, you study, you do what you need, don't need to worry. I'm going to be with you day and night. I said, Vanya, you don't need to do that. I'm not sure, but I think he slept outside in our yard for a week. God's going to protect us. God's going to take care of us. And we don't need to be fearful, overly concerned about being cast down, thrown out, as in this wrestling match. God's going to take care of us. And without a doubt, I'm sure the Apostle Paul felt that way on occasion. And then that last little bit, not destroyed. In other words, not ruined. He basically said, I may have been knocked down, but I'm not out for the count. And even if I'm out for the count, I'll get back on my feet eventually, and I'm going to continue on. The Apostle Paul had more than one or two missionary journeys. They weren't all easy. They were difficult, but he learned real quick, affliction does not cause destruction. All for an earthen vessel to endure all this only magnifies the life of Christ in him. Have you ever had anybody ask you, I don't know how you do it. I would have given up a long time ago. And I tell you what it is. It's Christ in us, strengthening us. And as we honor him and we choose to honor him, he provides and he makes a way and he strengthens us as we need it. Honoring God in the tough times. Folks, no matter how hard it gets, no matter how difficult it gets, we can remember affliction does not cause destruction. And the best way to honor him is to continue moving on. All of this enhances the life of Christ demonstrated in me. And that's what you need to keep in heart. All the affliction, all the difficulties, and all the things that take place, and God still works in me and through me. It enhances my life in the name of Jesus. And it demonstrates in me and through me what Christ could do with a broken vessel. Folks, there is no person so broken that God cannot use. If that was the case, we would have to change this first point, because affliction does not cause destruction. We may have setbacks. We may have a time where we have to step back and regroup. We may feel overwhelmed, but the bottom line is when we get pulled back together and we realize what's going on and we move forward, God could use us. All the examples that I used tonight, earlier in our outline, were men who had failed or making mistakes or had shortcomings in their life. But the commonality they all have is they had short accounts with the Lord and they yielded themselves for God to use. And God used them in a mighty way. And then again, they all pointed and gave all the credit back to the Lord Jesus. You know, sometimes we'll write a paper, we'll put in a quote in the bulletin, or we'll do something of some nature, and we see the thing scrolling on the screen once in a while with quotes, and we'll give the name at the bottom and give credit for who said what they said. Sometimes we may have it not have the quote exactly right, but the best we know, we'll give credit. Now, I wonder sometime, do we give God enough credit for what he's done in our life? It's because of him. It's 6:54 before we pray. Let's just take a moment. Anybody want to share a blessing? Anybody want to give that quote and say, Michelle, boy, I haven't seen you move that fast in a long time. That hand went straight up. I tried to talk her out of it tonight. I wasn't making sure, but she said, "Sweetheart, I miss my church family. I feel better just being around them." And so thank you so much for doting on her and for the calls and text messages, emails, and the cards. The meals, we greatly appreciate it. Anyone else? We got six. Go ahead, Brother John. God is good. Amen. Amen. Anyone else? Time for one. Yes, Brother Dr. Hottie. Yes. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Still not 7 o'clock yet. Got time for another one. Yes, Miss Margo. Amen. Amen. God brings in those that we need as we need them to be a blessing and encouragement. It is a blessing to see new families. Anyone else? Anyone else? Oh, yes, Brother Frank. Amen. 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 Friends and family. One more. Might as well practice. We're going to be doing a lot more of this on the 29th. Anyone else? Going once, going twice? Brother Daryl?
Well, the word tells us that no weapons formed against thee shall prosper.
Yes.
That's something I constantly keep in mind when I'm facing persecution or ill will. I just look to the Lord for everything that I need. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Brother John? Go ahead, Tony.
Hi, Marty and I, especially me, I just got caught up. She's been on board for years of time. I strongly try to tell everybody, truly, if you're saved, tithe, don't hesitate to tithe. Don't think you're too broke. And especially give above tithe if you can, possibly can. Because the Lord will.
Amen. There's just so many things that we need to try God on. Not just the tithing, that's a big one, but other things as well, just saying, just give him that opportunity to work in and through our life. John? Amen.
I hope I'm on a roll. Why I say that is that the folks that were here this morning, yeah, they were trying to sell insurance to us at home, and we ended up inviting them to church, and they actually came. So, Lord willing, maybe I'm going to start a path here for an
Amen. Amen. God is good. Anyway, yes, Brother Disro. Disro.
Bonnie and I was down under the preachers that won't listen when you talk to them. It's their way or no way. And I really thank the Lord for sending you here because you are able to be talked to. And it's really appreciated for somebody that sits with you to be able to have someone that can just open up to.
Amen. Amen. Well, I could not describe myself as a shepherd if I didn't. And it's not that I'm saying that's the only reason why I do it. That's just who I am. And I'm grateful for the opportunity, and also thank you for being so loving and kind toward Michelle and I, and willing and being patient with us and talking with us and able to share. And I'll say this, and I don't want you to take it the wrong way. If you feel that you haven't had an opportunity to spend time with me and Michelle, the bottom line is you haven't asked. Because have I told anybody no? I know Brother Disbrow, one time I said, Brother Disbrow, somebody beat you to it, but next week, whenever you want to, we're going. And we did. But I don't say no. If it doesn't work out that day, we'll work out a date because, as Michelle mentioned, this is our church family. I want to be approachable, but I will warn you on one thing. The more you get to know me, the more you'll find out I'm not as good as you think I am. I have chinks in my armor. I am human. I put my pants on just like you do, gentlemen, my shoes. We all are subject to failure, but I'm not afraid of that. I enjoy being around God's people. Amen. All right, let's all stand together. We'll have a word of prayer and be dismissed at 7:01. So if you don't have to run off, take a moment to say hello. Let somebody know that you appreciate them and glad they're here. And let's look to the Lord in prayer and ask God's blessings as we dismiss tonight. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your goodness, the blessings, the joy of service, the joy of fellowship. Father, we pray that you'll bless our time together. Help us to be always mindful, Father, that affliction does not cause destruction. No matter what we're going through, no matter how hard it may be, Father, that you're there and ready to heal, to restore, to encourage. And Father, even in our darkest moment, our most difficult time, ready and prepared to use us to make a difference and to be a blessing to someone else. Father, help us to make that choice to honor you in all that we do. We ask these things in Christ's name with thanksgiving. Amen. As always, God bless you.